Thank you, Ann. We are so blessed in our church family to have a number of musicians. Ann is the longest tenured by far. And that is not an indication of her age, that is an indication of her faithfulness. And we are so thankful, Ann, that the Lord has provided that skill that you are still continue to use. What a blessing it is to us. In fact, what a testimony to the very song that she played. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing, even cancer. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide? Our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus. It is he. From age to age, Lord Sabaoth his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. Man, praise God. Thank you, Ann. All right, let's pray and go home. That's all we need. Let's take a minute to look at Simeon. I want us to start by just kind of taking a look at what Luke is doing, at least what the Holy Spirit is inspiring Luke to do, what we need him to do. If you were to begin at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, you would see that his purpose is to help us believe, to shore up our understanding of who Christ is. And he is writing, Luke is writing, to a largely Gentile audience like us. The audience that Luke is intending is not the Jews who have been studying God's words and God's promises and God's prophecies. We are fairly new to this idea of a Messiah and the Son of God who came to take away the sins of the world. But what we get in the Gospel of Luke is we get right from the very beginning, we get an angel appears to a priest, and his name is Zacharias. And he tells Zacharias some incredible things. And then we get an angel who appears to a young woman named Mary. And the angel tells Mary some even more incredible things. And then we get an angel who appears to a young man whose name is Joseph. And then we get the Holy Spirit who shows up in Zacharias' life. And then we get the Holy Spirit, or we get an angel that shows up to a group of shepherds. And then we get the Holy Spirit who shows up in an old man's life. And then we get the Holy Spirit who shows up in an old woman's life. Woman named Anna. And Luke is chronicling for us, this is no ordinary child. And that is obviously clear from before Jesus was born. It was no ordinary announcement that Mary was going to have a child. In fact, it was extraordinary. If it had been made today, it would be on the news, right? This is no ordinary birth. The night that he was born, it was no ordinary night. And that was clearly obvious to them and to us. Luke is building the case. This is not just a nice story that somebody came up with after Jesus became a man and started to teach some pretty incredible things and then died. No, this is chronicling all throughout from before Jesus was born that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the one who came to save. And so on a broad sense, we get an incident with an older man who has no clue who Mary and Joseph are, and he just happens to show up in the temple at the same time, and he sees Jesus amid all the other young boys. And by the way, I'm not going to mention this as we walk through it, but you need to know that there were a lot of baby boys in and out of the temple all the time. Every firstborn male child had to be presented at the temple for certain procedures and to be given a name on the eighth day after he was born. And so this is no out of the ordinary event. There were lots of baby boys in and out of the temple. Simeon happens to be there and sees this one baby boy, and he is different, and it is clear to Simeon, and he walks up and he takes the child in his arms. Anna just happens to be there, and she sees this one baby boy out of all the others, and he is clearly different. We need to know what Luke is doing. He is distinguishing Jesus as an infant. It was clear to them. Let me tell you why that's important. Because you're going to keep reading in Luke if you do. And you're going to see the Pharisees as Jesus becomes a man. And you know what? They're not going to believe that Jesus is different. And we're going to be tempted to think, well, they just didn't understand the Old Testament. See, it just wasn't clear who Jesus was. Oh, no. No, that's wrong. They did understand the Old Testament. It was clear who Jesus was from before he was born. It was clear who Jesus was. The reason they missed him, the reason they didn't recognize him for who he was because their hearts were wrong. It was not the circumstances. It was not unclear. They missed him because of their hard hearts. And I want us to see here with Simeon, there are some things the Holy Spirit gives insight into this old man's heart. He uses this old man as more evidence that it was clear to those who were looking who Jesus was. And we get a stark contrast between those who immediately recognize who Christ is and then those who completely miss it. Luke is setting us up for that. If you miss it, if we miss who Christ is in our hearts, and we're even going to see what it looks like to recognize Christ as the Messiah, because there are going to be thoughts that are revealed that may not be obvious from the outside. There is a danger here of saying we know who Christ is, but not really. And so we need to listen to how the Holy Spirit describes this man who immediately recognized Christ. And the Holy Spirit used to describe who he is, what his purpose is, what the significance of Christ's life would be. This is important because we want the heart that Simeon had to be our heart. We want the response that Simeon had and the recognition that Simeon had, we want that to be our heart and our response and our recognition. We want to be like this old man. Who was he? The Holy Spirit actually gives us a lot of information about Simeon in one verse. In verse 25, it says that he was a man who lived in Jerusalem. And then he gives us two descriptions of his character. It says that he was righteous. The idea, the statement that Simeon was righteous, that is not just how he obeyed the law, but that is a statement of how God viewed Simeon. That God, the Holy Spirit, saw this man as righteous. That means this man didn't just follow the law. this man trusted Christ. It does not mean that he was perfect, followed the law to a T, and was without sin, because nobody's been that way. It means that God looked down at Simeon and saw the trust, the same trust that Abraham had in the Lord, the same belief in God's promises and God's word, a trust in the Lord. And Simeon was granted righteousness. This is how God viewed Simeon, righteous. But then it goes on to say he was not just righteous, but he is described as devout. Now let me describe devout. Righteous is how God viewed Simeon. Devout is how Simeon viewed God. That the word devout means sincere or dependent or faithful. What you're getting in that word is a description of Simeon's relationship to the Lord. This is not just an old man who's following the Lord, the laws. This is not just an old man who's ticking off the list of things that he has to do like the Pharisees did. This is an older gentleman who loves the Lord and trusts the Lord and desires with all of his heart to please the Lord. Righteous is how God viewed Simeon. Devout is how Simeon viewed God. Now I want us to think about that for the new year. He goes on and it says that Simeon was looking for the consolation of Israel. That word consolation, the idea of consolation means, it means encouragement. It's actually the word, the same word that's used to describe the Holy Spirit. Later on in the New Testament. It is encouragement. It is help. It is salvation. This man was looking for the encouragement, for the help, for the salvation of Israel. This is a man who had read his Bible and he had heard the Lord say in Isaiah and Jeremiah, and in all the prophets, that a remnant would be saved, that a son would be born, that a kingdom would be reestablished. He had read that and he had said, God's word says it and I believe it. And so I am waiting and hoping and expecting and trusting that God is going to fulfill his promises. God has made some promises to us and it's going to happen. That's what it meant that Simeon was looking for the consolation of Israel. It meant that Simeon had read the promises of God, trusted the promises of God, and expected God to fulfill those promises. He was waiting for it to happen. That's what it meant. So you have this man, he is righteous, he is devout, and this man trusts God's word. And his life is built around the truth of God's promises. Even though he didn't see how it was going to happen, he believed it. It says that the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now that was an unusual thing for this day. Not everyone who was righteous had the Holy Spirit dwelling upon him. Every time that you see the Holy Spirit dwelling on somebody in the Old Testament, it is because their lives are being used for a particular purpose. That gives us a little bit of insight into our lives now that in the New Testament, every believer, everyone who has been given righteousness has the Holy Spirit. And it is the same today as it was back then. If you have the Holy Spirit in your life, it is because your life has been picked out to be used by the Lord for a particular purpose. You don't have the Holy Spirit for no reason. This man didn't have the Holy Spirit for no reason at all. He had the Holy Spirit because God was going to use him to reveal some things about his son that we needed to know. This isn't old Simeon who was pretty smart. This is old Simeon who was being guided by the Holy Spirit. Do you guys see the difference? God had made him a promise. In verse 26, it says, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon was living under a promise, a specific promise that the Lord had given to him that he would live until he saw with his eyes the Messiah. And so he was waiting. He was looking. He was expecting. He trusted God's promise. I'm going to see the Messiah. Now let's watch this. Background story is over. Here comes the main event. He came in the Spirit into the temple. Now, why was he in the temple at this particular time? It was because the Spirit brought him to the temple at this particular time. And what happened at the same time? When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, they just happened to show up at the temple at the same time. When he saw the baby Jesus, verse 28, he took him into his arms and he blessed God. That means that he was thankful and he lifted God up. God, you are amazing. God, you are incredible. God, your timing is awesome and perfect. He blessed the Lord, meaning he lifted God up. Why? He said, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant. Simeon considered himself to be the slave of the Lord. God, whatever you have, God, you are releasing your slave to depart in peace according to your word. God, you've made me promises. God, I've trusted your promises. God, I've found you to be faithful. And God, your faithfulness to your promises, God, I now have the peace that you promised, and I can go on home now. God, you've been faithful to your promises. I want you to imagine a life where the whole theme of your life is, God, you've made promises. God, you've trusted. God, I've trusted your promises. God, you've proven yourself faithful. And now my life is complete. God, that's all I've asked of you. Use my life to demonstrate your faithfulness to your promises. And I can go in peace. That's a whole different way of looking at life. But that is the way of the slave of the Lord. My life is not about my accomplishments. My life is not about my abilities. My life is not about anything of the possessions that I have, to be sure. My life is a demonstration of God's faithfulness to His promises. God, you made promises, and I trusted them. And I acted in accordance with the promises you have made. And God, you have proven yourself faithful. George Mueller. God, your word said that you will provide for all of my needs according to your riches and glory. God, you've given me these children. It's obviously you that have given me all of these children in this orphanage that you led me to start. And God, they don't have any bread or milk to drink for breakfast. But God, we're gathered here around the table with no food on it. But God, we're thanking you right now for the food that you're going to provide. Sir, I had all of this bread that was not sold this morning. Could you use it? Sir, I have a milk truck and the axle is broken on my milk truck and it's going to spoil before I can fix the axle. Is there any way that you could use a whole truckload full of milk? God, your word has promises. God, I have built my life around trusting your promises, and you have used my life to prove that you are faithful to your promises. This is Simeon. He says, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. What has happened? He says, because my eyes have seen your salvation. God, the way that you kept your promises to old Simeon was you allowed him to see what you promised him. Now, I want to I want you to walk back through this with me for just a second here. I want you to look. What was it that Simeon was trusting the Lord for? Simeon was looking for the consolation, the encouragement, the salvation of Israel. The Holy Spirit had promised Simeon that he would see the Messiah. Simeon's looking for the salvation of Israel. God promised him, what you'll see is you'll see the Messiah. But I want you to listen. What is it that Simeon interprets the sight of this little baby to be? He doesn't say, God, you've allowed me to see your Messiah, which is what God promised him. Simeon says, God, my eyes have seen your salvation. Now, I want you to understand something about Simeon here. Simeon's looking for the salvation of Israel. Simeon is looking for God's people, the nation of Israel, to be freed from their oppressors. He is looking for the nation of Israel, for their hearts to be turned back to the Lord and for God's people to again faithfully worship the Lord their God and to see God free them from their oppressors and to fulfill His promises. Let me ask you a question. In this verse right here, when Simeon said that, had he seen any of that happen? No, he had not. In fact, when he saw Jesus in the temple that day, he had not seen one event take place in the nation of Israel. He had not seen one action begun in the nation of Israel. He had not seen one change of circumstances in the nation of Israel. He was looking for all of this to happen. Let me tell you, right here, when he sees Jesus, he didn't see any of the changes that he was looking for. Yet he was able to say, my eyes have seen your salvation. Do you know why he said that? Because for Simeon, as it was for Isaiah, as it was for Jeremiah, as it was for Hosea, all the way through the Old Testament, salvation is not an event that we look forward to happening. Salvation is a person. He looked at this little baby and he said, I have seen God's salvation. Salvation is not an event. It's a person. Let me bring this home a little bit because I think this is a really important principle. The day that you trust Christ as your Savior, we say, I was saved. I was talking to a guy last night who was telling me he's been saved for a year. I asked him about, he described to me how that happened. When we think about the day that we trusted Christ, if you can remember the specific day and time, the day that you trusted Christ as your Savior, let me ask you a question. Did any of the circumstances of your life change right then? No. Was there any grand action that took place in your situation that changed right then? Was there even the opportunity to right then stand before the Lord and see Him face to face and hear Him say, welcome home, child, enter into the joy of your reward. Did that happen? But wait a minute, but we believe that will happen, right? We believe that one day we will stand before the Lord. If our trust is in Jesus as our Savior, we believe one day that we will stand before the Lord, and because of what Christ has done for us, we will hear the Lord say, welcome home, child, enter into the joy of your reward. Rather than what our sin really deserves, right? How do you know for sure that when you stand before the Lord, He will say, "Welcome in, child," rather than "Depart from me, because I never knew you"? How do you know for sure? Can I tell you? How we know for sure is because of a person, not an event. We know that for sure because we believe in Christ. Because we've seen Christ, not with our physical eyes, but we've trusted Christ and who He is and what He has done. We trust that His presence is enough. And that when that day comes, He is all I need. Jesus is my Savior. And that's enough for me. His very presence and the work that He has done and what He means. He is my salvation. Even though I haven't actually seen it happen yet, He is enough. That's what it means to put our trust in Christ as our Savior. That's what it means for Him to be our salvation. Our salvation is a person and not an event. Let me take this one step further, because I really think this is what Simeon is doing here. He's trusting in the presence of this little boy who he knows to be the Messiah. He hadn't seen one event, not one action, not one change take place, but Jesus is here, and I have seen the salvation of the Lord. Now, we put our trust in Jesus as our Savior, and you know what? The second we put our trust in Christ as our Savior, He forgives us of all our sin. He puts a new heart in our life. His Holy Spirit comes to reside in our lives such that it's His life and not mine. But wait a minute, is that the only time that we need to trust Jesus? For sure not. In fact, that's just the beginning. That's just the introduction of trusting Christ. We have to trust Him every day after that. Not just as our Savior, but as our Shepherd and our Lord and our Guide. And you know what? The truth that salvation is a person and not an event. You know what that does? That means that I can trust Christ today. There are things that I am asking the Lord for. There are things that in my life I need to happen. And let me tell you something. Anybody who's raising children, you have a lot of things to ask the Lord for, right? And anybody who wants to be Christ in the places that He has put you, we have a lot of things to look for, to ask for, right? But you know what? I haven't seen how all of those things are going to play out. I haven't seen the end result of all of my prayers. I haven't seen how He's going to do all of these things. But that's okay. I don't need to see. Because my salvation is not in an event. It's not in a change of circumstances. It's not in an action that I'm waiting to take place. My comfort, my peace, my joy is not in an action. My salvation and my comfort and my peace and my joy, it's in a person. And the truth that Christ is with me, that's all I need. I don't need to see the end result. I don't need to see the action. I don't need to see the change. The truth that He is with me. His presence. He is my salvation. Isaiah chapter 12. We studied this. Don't turn there. We studied this in a Wednesday night couple of months ago. But Isaiah actually sings a song in chapter 12 to the Lord. And he says, "The Lord is my strength and refuge. He has become my salvation." Isaiah hadn't seen one event or one change or one action at all. All he knew was that God was with him. And that's all he needed. Because the Lord is our salvation. Do you guys see the difference that that makes? When he is our salvation, and not an event that we're waiting for or something that we're asking God for, or no, when he and his presence with us, when that is all that we need, then you know what? You can have comfort and joy and peace in any situation. Because it's not the circumstances changing that you're looking for. It's simply him that we need. Simeon was there, and not one of the things that Simeon was looking for happened, except that he saw the Messiah as a baby. And he said, "My eyes have seen your salvation." That's enough. Salvation wasn't an event. It was a person. And if going into this new year, if the joy of our heart and the delight of our heart and the comfort and the peace of our heart isn't in waiting for certain things to happen the way we want them to happen or even the way we're asking them to happen, if our comfort and our peace and our joy come simply in the truth that he is with me. Oh, man. What a difference that will make. Because you know what? It may be that those things that we're asking for and waiting for and hoping for, it may be that those things, they may not happen this year. And maybe some things that we don't want to happen will happen this year. And you know what? If our comfort and our joy and our peace, if that's all dependent on certain things happening, then you know what? We stand to be some disappointed people. But if we will see that our salvation is not an event, it's a person, then regardless of what comes, regardless of whether this happens or this happened or this doesn't happen, regardless of what comes, our eyes can see his salvation because he is with us. What a difference that will make in our lives. You know what? We have got to stop there. Because if I keep going, we'll be here for a while. There is more here. If Simeon stopped right there, it would be more than enough. But he didn't. He didn't stop there. But we're going to. And maybe we'll come back next week to see the purpose and significance that Simeon gives to his mother, to Mary, about the life of her son, which is incredible. Father, God, I thank you for the example of this old, righteous, devout man who trusted your promises. And God, I ask you, Lord, to shape our hearts like this. God, I pray that the presence of your Son, who he is, pray that would be all that we need, that we would find our all in him. And God, you have invited us to ask for many things, and we should. But God, I pray that even amidst your timing and your plan and your ways, God, our hope and our trust and our confidence and our joy and our peace would be found in what we already have. And that is the presence of your Son, our Savior, Jesus. Lord, you know how we need this truth. I pray that your Holy Spirit would apply it to each of our hearts and lives. Thank you for sending him. Thank you that he was willing to come, die, and rise for us. In his name we pray. Amen. In just a second, we're going to stand and sing. You know, anytime that we open God's Word, we have to respond in some way. We can't walk away from God's Word the same. So as we sing, as the Holy Spirit puts His finger on your heart, you respond in the way that He leads you to respond. Let Him do the work. Maybe there are ways, there are things in your life that you are worried and fear and upset. Maybe there are things that you are asking the Lord for, and your peace and your joy and your confidence and comfort, they're all dependent on this thing. But we need to rest, not in the event, but in the person who we have, who is Christ. Maybe you need to allow the Lord to give you peace just in that, like He did to Simeon. You're here this morning, and listen, it may very well be that you are here this morning and there has never been a time in your life where you recognized the sin that is in your heart and the wrath that you deserved from your Creator because you have rebelled against Him, but the love that He demonstrated by sending His own Son to die in your place so that your sins could be put on Him and forgiven from you. And then He rose from the dead so that not only could you be forgiven, but you can be made new. And now live to please Him. If you have never trusted Christ like that, I beg you to trust Him today. Brothers and sisters, let's respond the way that the Lord would have us to respond. Let's stand and sing.